Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Zayin. Today's shiur is sponsored by Howard and Tzila Shulman in memory of Tzila's mother, Brindel Bas Yitzchak Tov, and Neshama Shteven Aliyah. And we thank the Shulmans very much for the sponsorship. Today's daf again is Lamed Zayin. We're continuing to discuss the Eged of the Lulav that the Mishnah started to talk about. We had a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah about whether the Eged of the Lulav has to be Bimino Shalulav, where Rabbi Yehuda held that it has to be Dafka Bimino Shalulav. So the first thing we're going to get into is whether the Siv and why it is that the Siv and the Ikra Didikla, or how we know rather that the Siv and the Ikra Didikla, other parts of the palm tree, count as the Mino Shalulav, because we're going to find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it counts as the Mino Shalulav with regard to Sukkah, because he also holds that Sukkah needs to be made with Dalminim Shablulav. We're going to question that Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Sukkah needs to be made with Dalminim Shablulav and try to defend him. And then the majority of the daf, we're going to have seven different statements of Rabbah that frames the majority of the daf. Many of them about Chatzitza in Etilas Lulav and about Lekicha Tama, which is an issue that's similar to Chatzitza, it's related to Chatzitza. And then a couple of comments that Rabbah has about smelling an Esrog and smelling a Hadas, both Esrog and Hadas Shal Mitzvah, as well as when they're still attached to the tree on Yantiv. And then the final statement of Rabbah is going to be about how to hold the Dalad Minim, in which hands to hold the Dalad Minim. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about the Nanuim, at which point during the different places in Davening we are Minanea the Lulav, and we're going to compare the Nanuim of the Lulav to the Hanafas Shtei Alechem, the waving of the Shtei Alechem, and we're going to have different possibilities of what the meaning is behind the waving, what we're trying to express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the waving of the lulav. So let us begin again from Ve'amar Rav, about four lines past the Mishnah on Lamed Vavam Beis. Ve'amar Rav, mina amina la de siv ikra didikla mina de lulavahu. How do I know, says Rava, that siv and ikra didikla are considered to be the min of the lulav? So detanya, meaning these are different parts of the palm tree, how do I know that they're also considered to be the min of the lulav, and it doesn't actually have to be lulav leaves that you use to tie the lulav? So Detanya, he learns it from the following braisa. Besukos teshvu, sukkah shall call davar divrebi meir. Pasuk says besukos teshvu, so Meir says it means you can make a sukkah out of anything. There's no dinim of what the sukkah has to be made out of other than psolus garden viakev. Rabbi Yehuda omer ein sukkah noheges ela bedalad minim shabalulav, that a sukkah is only noheg, we can only build a sukkah using the materials of the dalad minim shabalulav, of the actual four minim of the lulav. Vadinosein, and it's logical to assume that way. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma lulav she'ein noig b'leilos k'biyamim. Einu noig el barbas minin. Lulav, which is very limited in that it's only noig during the daytime, it's not noig at nighttime. Yet we're still so strict that it could only be made from dalad minim, that you're limited to these dalad minim. Sukkah she'noheges b'leilos k'biyamim. Einu din shlotei el barbas minim. So sukkah, which is noig both by daytime and nighttime, which we are, it's such a bigger mitzvah, it apparently applies all the time, even by nighttime as well, so all the more so we should be strict to limit it to only the dalad minim of the lulav. So Amar lo, the Chavin said back to him, that's a bad kal v'chomer, because kol din shatadon tchilos alahachmer v'sof alahakel eino din. The rule is that anytime you can have a kal v'chomer that sounds like you're being machmir, but it could lead to a kula in another direction, is not a good kal v'chomer. And this kal v'chomer is not only going to lead you to be machmir about the sukkah and limit you to only the dalad minim in sukkah, but it's going to cause you to be makel in hilchos sukkah also. There's going to come a situation where you're going to be overly makel in sukkah because of this kal v'chomer, namely lo matzah arbas minin. If you don't find the four minim to build the sukkah out of, ye yoshev batel, you're not going to build the sukkah at all. And the Torah says b'sukkah teishu shivas yamim sukkah shal kol davar, which makes it sound like anything can be used for a sukkah. So you're going to end up violating the mitzvah of sukkah entirely because you're trying to keep this chumra of having only dalad minim in the sukkah. So this is a kal v'chomer shetchilas lahachmir v'sof lahakel. Therefore, it's an invalid kal v'chomer. V'chein be'ezra omer tzua harva aviu ale zayis v'ale et shemen v'ale hadas v'ale tmarim v'ale et avos v'asuk sukos kakasuv. And the pasuk in Ezra says, go gather a whole bunch of different leaves and branches, like olive leaves and olive tree branches and hadas and date tree and eitz avos, etc., to make sukkos. But you see, included in there is olive branches also. So you see that it's not only the dalaminim shabalulav that you're allowed to use to build a sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda savar hani l'defanos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Whatever is listed in the pasuk in Ezra that's not one of the dalaminim, we're gathering in order to build the walls of the sukkah. Ale hadas vale tamarim vale eitz avos l'schach. But whatever is mentioned in the pasuk that is one of the dalaminim, that's what we use for schach. Utnan mesachin b'nesarim div Rabbi Yehuda. And we also have Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to be mesachich b'nesarim, you're allowed to use boards for schach. Now wait a second, nesarim, how are you going to use boards for schach if you can only use the dalaminim shabalulav? Which one of them exactly could be turned into a board? So what you see clearly is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though he limits you to the dalaminim shabalulav, when he says mesachin b'nesarim, he must be referring to the wood that comes from a date tree, and not to the actual branches or leaves of the date tree, the palm branches themselves. It's the wood that comes from the date tree. So you see that that's considered part of the dalaminim shabalulav when it comes to sukkah. So alma sivik radikla mina delavahi. So you see that sivik radikla are considered a min of the lulav when it comes to sukkah. So if that's true when it comes to sukkah, it's also going to be true when it comes to the eged of the lulav. When Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, ein ogdina salulav ela bimino, you're only allowed to bind the lulav with something that is the min of the lulav, that's part of the min of the lulav. So yeah, that would include the siv, nikra tadikla, any part of the palm branches. So shema mina, that is the raya that siv and nikra tadikla are included. So the just the on this notion of kol din shatadant chilas la'achmer v'sofa la'akal eino din, Tosos raises the question that there's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim where there's a machlokas when it comes to beer chavetz, that the chum hold beer is bekol davar, and Rabbi Yehuda says ein beer el b'sreifa. So Rabbi Yehuda learns, how does he know ein beer el b'sreifa? He learns it from a kal v'chomer. How do we know they have to beer chametz only by burning it? So he says, think about nosar. When you have leftover meat from a karban beyond the zman where you're allowed to eat the karban, where there's no isra of ownership of such meat, there's just an isra of achila. So even if nosar requires sreifa and it's a less strict din, then for sure chametz, where there's even nisr of bal yira, it's a more strict din, you're not even allowed to own it, for sure it's going to require sreifa. So over there also, the chametz said back to Rabbi Yehuda, that this is a kal v'chomer, that's sofa lahakel, because what happens if you can't find firewood? Then what are you going to do? Just leave your chametz around and not going to get rid of it? Instead of being zor l'ruach, mataliyam, instead of getting rid of it in some alternate way, you're just going to leave it around? So the chum reject Rabbi Yehuda's kal v'chomer because it's sofa lahakel. But nevertheless, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda because you have a stam mishnah maseches tmur that says like Rabbi Yehuda. So then why is it by sukkah, by dalad minim, we don't pass on like him? Meaning if the logic is the same, the logic to reject the logic of Rabbi Yehuda in both places by burning chametz and by building a sukkah out of dalaminim is the same. It's based on a kal v'chomer. And the flaw in the kal v'chomer is the same in both places in that it's a kal v'chomer that's sofa lahakel. So why do we stick with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to ein bir chametz al sreifa, but we reject Rabbi Yehuda la'alacha when it comes to building our sukkos? We don't only use schach made from the dalaminim. So Tosfos says that by chametz, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because the maskana we learn from Nosar, not with the kal v'chomer, but with a mematzinu. And the mematzinu, a binyanav, where we just compare the two to each other, where you don't even need a kal v'chomer, so then you're not going to be able to ask a pircha on. But a sukkah, which is entirely based on the kal v'chomer, so if it's sofa lahakel, then it's not actually a kal v'chomer, then it destroys the whole concept of kal v'chomer. The tzlach suggests that the machlokas Rabban Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya is totally in the machlokas about shnas hayovel, whether for the following Shemitah cycle, the Yovel year counts as the first year of the following Shemitah cycle or not. And he says, therefore, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over here because we don't paskin about him with regard to the Shnas HaYovel. I didn't really get how the Tzlach connects the two, though. I'm not really sure what it has to do with the Shnas HaYovel. But he says, he just points out that maybe it connects to some other other machlokas, and that's why we would paskin differently, because it all depends on some other machlokas. It's not just simply the formula of kal v'chomer shtchas lahachmir v'sofa lahakal. There's more to it than that. Okay, so further in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda has this incredible shita that you can only build a sukkah out of dalad minim shabalulav. So miyam Rabbi Yehuda arbas minim in midi achrin lo. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that way, that you can't use anything else other than the dalad minim shabalulav to build the sukkah? V'atanya, we have a brisa sicha bin asarim shal erez sheyesh ben dalad tfachim devrei kol psula. If you use cedar wood boards that are 4 tfachim wide, everyone holds it's pasul, but ein ben dalad tfachim. If you use cedar wood boards that are less than 4 tfachim wide, Rameir posel v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's kasher. Modi Rabbi Meir shemiyesh ben nesel nesel kumlo nesel shemineach pasul b'nei nukshera. And even Rabbi Meir would be moda that if you leave airspace between the boards that equals the size of the boards, and you fill that in with kasher schach, that that's still going to be kasher. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that cedar wood is kasher to use for the sukkah. So how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda only holds the dalaminim shabalulav? None of the dalaminim are cedar wood. So says Gemara, my erez hadas. No, erez over here doesn't mean cedar wood. It means hadas. It means hadasim. Kide rabba barav huna. Dam rabba barav huna. Amri beirav asara mine arazim hein. There are actually 10 types of wood that are called erez. Shenemar etin b'midbar erez shita v'hadas. So hadas is on the list of the different things that are all called arazim. So he's not saying any different. Rabbi Yehuda holds only the dalamin of shabalulav are kasher to build a sukkah out of. Now in the Mishnah we said that Reb Meir holds that you don't need to be oge the lulav bimino. You could even use a meshicha and ikra didikla. You could even use a meshicha rather, and gimon yoshel zav he brought a raya from, you could use other items chut meshicha etc. So Tanya Amr Reb Meir brought a raya to his shita in the brisa ma'isa biyakira Yerushalayim sheyo ogden suluvein bigimon yoshel zav, that the special people of Yerushalayim would bind their lulavim using golden holders or golden strings to bind their lulav. So you see that you don't need to use the min of the lulav to bind the lulav. A raya against Rabbi Yehuda. So Amlo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Meir, it's not a raya. Misham raya, b'mino ayog d'nosu milamata. That's not a good raya, because they would bind the lulav first, b'mino, and then on top of that, they would use the gimonio shel zahav. But the egget of the lulav was still made b'mino. So the mefarshim are all bothered by the obvious problem. What does the Braisa say that the Mishnah didn't say? The Mishnah already had this raya. The Mishnah says that Amr of Meir, Ma'is about Shushayim, Shayog, Sodem, Vigimon, Yoshal Zav, and Amrulo, Bimino, Hayog, Noso, Milamata. So what appears here in this Braisa that doesn't appear already in the Mishnah? So the Kapos Tamarim suggests that the Braisa emphasizes that they would be Ogid, Vigimon, Yoshal Zav, that the people who were Ogid, Vigimon, Yoshal Zav were Dafka the Yakire Yerushalayim. In the Mishnah, it didn't call them Yakire Yerushalayim, it said Anshe Yerushalayim, people who happen to live in Yerushalayim. The Braisa adds that these were the Nechbada Yerushalayim, the Ashira Yerushalayim, not Stam Anshe Yerushalayim. So we see that Derech Eretz, and not everyone should spend so much money on an Eger of Gimoni Yoshal Zav, only the Ashirim. It's only appropriate for the Ashirim to do so. Meaning it's not the actual mitzvah itself, it's something that enhances the mitzvah, so it's only appropriate for the Ashirim to spend on Gimoni Yoshal Zav. So it's a milsa of Derech Eretz, something of Derech Eretz that we learn from here. Nothing to do with this halacha per se. Kabbalah Smarm also suggests that even though it was only the Ashirim, wasn't everybody else, the Brais is Mechadesh, that from Maisa of Yechidim we could bring a Raya. And we don't say, no, they must have done Shalok Kedin, or they must have done without the approval of the Chamin. Even though it was just Yechidim, we're allowed to bring a Raya if we have no reason to assume that those Yechidim were doing anything wrong. He also says the Brais adds Amrulo Misham Raya, meaning the way the Mishnah says it is just Amrulo B'minu Hayogden Osa Milamata. In the Brais it says Misham Raya, you think you could bring a Raya from there? Meaning the Yakira Yerushalayim themselves were made that they were Ogeid B'mino Milamata. So that's why Misham Raya, from their actions that you see that they do something, it's a Raya. I'm sorry, Misham Raya is not a question mark. It's Misham Raya. What do you mean? There's a Raya Dafka from them that you're not allowed to use another min, because they themselves were made that you're Ogeid Milamata, that they were Ogeid Milamata B'mino Shalulav. So that's what it adds. That it's not not only that is it not a raya against Rabbi Yehuda from the Yekiri Yerushalayim, it's a raya to Rabbi Yehuda. It's Misham Raya. It's a raya to Rabbi Yehuda from the Yekiri Yerushalayim. The Aruch HaNer points out, suggests that maybe it's both differences combined make the Chiddush of the Braisa. I mean, what are both differences between the Braisa and the Mishnah? The fact that it says Yekirei and the fact that it says Umisham Raya. Those are the two differences in the Braisa. That since they were Ogid B'Gimion Yoshel Zav, and it was Dafka the Ashirim who would do so, so we understand the Misham Raya, that even though they were Ashirim and they had the ability to be Ogid with Gimion Yoshel Zav even underneath, and nevertheless they still use cheap lulav branches underneath, so that's the raya, that it must be that ain't ogdenes a lulav el b'mino. That's what we're adding. Meaning, if it wasn't Yakira Yerushalayim and they were ogid b'mino shalulav milamata, so then it's not a raya to anything. Maybe they had the lower level tied with lulav, because that's not visible, and they couldn't afford to use gold all around to have two wrappings of gold. But once we say that they're Yakira Yerushalayim, that these are the very wealthy people, and they would spare no expense, so if it were true that they were able to use gold on the bottom and on top all around, then they would have used all gold. The fact that they didn't, Misham Raya, that's a Raya that you dafka have to use Mino Shalulav on the bottom. So that's what this Braisa adds. Those are the different possibilities of what the Braisa adds that the Mishnah didn't already say. Now we move on to the seven statements of Rabbah that we have between here and the Mishnah. So statement number one, Amrlu Rabbah Lahanu Megadle Hoshana Debereish Kalusa. Rabbah said to those who grew the Hoshanos, the Lulavim, and of the Reish Kalusa, Ki Gadlisu Hoshana Debereish Kalusa, Shari Bebes Yad Ki Echidol Tavi Chatzitza. Make sure when you tie together the Lulavim of the Reish Kalusa, that you leave together an area to hold it by so that there not be a Chatzitza. That you leave a Beis Yad, you leave a handle that you can hold it by so that it shouldn't be a Chatzitza. Rava Amar Kolon also, Eino Chotzitz. And Rava says, no, you don't have to worry about a Chatzitza from the Eged of the actual lulav, because anything that's there to make it nicer is not going to be considered a chatzitza. So that's kolon also in a chatzitza. Beis Yosef quotes from an aguda, Beis Yosef in Tafresh and Aleph, that you don't need to take off your rings or your tefillin when you take the lulav. So the Kabbalah tomorrow mass that from Tosfos we're going to see that chatzitza between the hand and the lulav, even on mitzvah yad, is considered a chatzitza. And even Rava is not cholik unless it's kedei lena also, and that's not shaykh by the Taboos and the Tefillin Shabiyado. So why don't you have to remove them? So Chassam Sofer writes in the name of the Magen Avraham that according to the Aguda, if the entire hand was covered, that would be Chatzitza, or the entire spot that's holding onto the Lulav, or even only part of the spot was covered, that would be Chatzitza. But when the hand is covered only partially, that's not a Chatzitza, because a partial covering of the hand, that's considered to be Batel to the hand. So it's only if it covers the hands entirely or covers the lulav partially. But if it covers only the hands partially, that would not be considered a chatzitza. Statement number two of Rabbah, Ve'amar Rabbah, Lolin Ketin Shoshana Besudra, Tvin Laki Chatam of Alaka. One should not hold the lulav in a cloth, holding it by wrapping his hands in a cloth, because you need a lakichatama, and that's not okay. That's you're not going to have a lakichatama if you're holding it with a cloth. V'rava amar lakicha l'davaracha shma lakicha, that there's no problem. You're allowed to hold the lulav using something else to hold it. Amar Rava minal minal de lakicha l'davaracha shma lakicha. So Rava says, how do I know that this is true? That lakicha l'davaracha, that holding something using something else is called lakicha, that it's called holding it. So two possible sources. Number one, Ditnan, Ezov Kotzer Misapka Bachut Bekush, the Tovel Mala Ochis Be Ezov Amaze, that if you're taking the Ezov that they would use to sprinkle the Efer, the Mechatas, the water mixed with the ashes of the Paraduma, so what they would do is they would keep the Mechatas in a long, narrow tube. So they'd have to stick in the Ezov, the branch, into the tube to wet it with the Mechatas, and then pull it out and sprinkle it. But what if the branch that they stuck into the tube didn't quite reach down to the bottom of the tube where you actually had the mechatas? So what would they do? They would attach a string or something to the edge of the branch and lower the branch in that way, and that way they would sort of lengthen it, even though they, so when they dipped it, they weren't actually holding the branch. They were holding a string that was attached attached to the end of the branch, and then when they'd pull it out, they'd actually grab the branch and do the sprinkling, holding on to the branch. So amai v'lokach v'taval amar achmana. But wait a second, v'lokach v'taval. While you're dipping the branch, you need a lakicha. You need to be holding on to the branch, and you're not. You're holding on to a string that's attached to the end of the branch. That's not holding on to the branch. So you see that even though you're not holding it directly, that's called holding it. Even though you're holding it only through something else, that's still called lakicha. So says Maramimai, no, maybe over there, since it's attached to the branch, you've attached it well to the branch, maybe that's considered part of the branch. So it's not a raya that when you have something external, entirely external to the item that you're trying to hold, that it's called lakicha. So elameacha, we have to say a different source for how we know, says Rava, that lekicha al yidei davarach shma lekicha. Nafal mishfoferes l'shukas pasul. If from the shoferes it fell into the shukas, it's pasul. What's this about? So it's also about the mechatas. If you look in Rashi, in the first wide line, nafal mishfoferes l'shukas af ha'efer ha'im avin bishfoferes. It wasn't just the water of the mechatas that they would have in a tube. The ashes also they would keep in a tube. Umekatshin boas ha'mayim b'shukas shel even. And they would be makdish the mayim in it in a shukas shel even, in a stone kli. Shekol ma'isapara b'kli avanam ha'isa. Or everything they would do with the paraduma, they tried to use stone kelim as much as possible to avoid tuma im efshar. V'inosin efer mishfoferes l'mayim shebeshukas. So they had the water in a stone kli that the ashes in a tube, and they would empty the ashes from the tube out into the kli. Sha'efer nosin lamala kidiyafin besot mayim chayim el keli. The ashes would go on top of the water because it says mayim chayim el keli. Sha mayim nosim tchila el keli. That first you put the mayim in the kli below yafsek efer b'nein, and you don't have efer in the kli first when you put the water in. So v'haduk siven nosin alav mayim mukminin la'arvan v'im kishabal lekadesh nafal ha'efer mishvaferes l'shukas shalobim eskavein. If let's say accidentally when you come to be mekadesh the water, the Efer falls from the shoferis right into the water without your intention. Pasul akiddush. The bina of a lachum efer shreifas achatos menasan sheilokech biyado menosein. You need a maisa lakicha in order to bring it from the shoferis to the shokas. So if it falls in, it's pasul. But the implication is hahi pilohu kasher. If you bimiskavin, you purposely make it fall, meaning where you're not holding the ashes themselves, you're only holding the shoferis, and you shake it out, so it's like it fell in, meaning physically it's the same as if it would have fallen in, because you're not actually placing the ashes directly with your hands. But this time the difference is kavana, you're dafka shaking it out of the tube into the water, so then that's kasher. I am my v'lachov and asanam rachmana. Don't you need a lekicha at the time of the nesina? Don't you need to be holding on to the shvoferes at the time that you're being nosein? Elav shamina lekicha didavrach reshma lekicha. So you see that lekicha didavrach reshma lekicha. Now these two concepts that Rabbah talks about of chatzitza, number one, and number two about lekicha didavracher, seem very similar to each other. Chatzitza means there's something in between your hand and the lulav. Lekicha didavracher means you're holding the lulav with something else. You're holding it with something else. So if you look at Tosfos, to be in the Kicha Tama, Veleka, Tosfos points out, when we talk about using a cloth to wrap your hand in a cloth, it's not shayich to talk about chatzitza. He says the difference is that previously when we're talking about chatzitza, we're talking about something on the lulav, that you had bound the lulav with something, so that which you bound the lulav with is a chatzitza. Over here we're talking about not wrapping the lulav, but wrapping your hands. When we talk about wrapping your hands, not shaykh talk about chatzitza, that's what we call the kicha lidei davar acher. Then he points to the gemara that we had in Pesachim of Sof Makom Shenagu, at the end of Parak Makom Shenagu, Pesachim Daf Nun Zayin, Gabi Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, by Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, Davakarich Yadav Bishirai, he wrapped his hands in cloth, Va'avid Avoda, and he did the Avoda with his hands wrapped in cloth, because he didn't want to get his hands dirty with the blood. Upirish Bekuntrus Chatzitza Poselus Bekachim, So Rashi says that it's a problem of chatzitza. But this isn't really chatzitza. What he means is l'kicha al yedei davar acher, because he's wrapping his hands, and isn't Rava the guy who says over here l'kicha al yedei davar acher shma l'kicha? So what was the problem over there? He was wrapping his hands and doing the avoda. It's not l'kicha al yedei, it's l'kicha al yedei davar acher, it's not chatzitza, and l'kicha al yedei davar acher works. Says Tosfos, l'kicha al yedei davar acher works, hani mili derech kavod. That's when you do the l'kicha al yedei davar acher as a derech kavod. K'demuch p'sof pirkin gabi lulav shol tziyu b'kli, d'parach al avam rav l'kicha al yedei davar acher shma l'kicha, u'meshani hani mili derech kavod av derech b'zayin lo. The Gemara is going to say that if you take the lulav in a kli, that even Rava would say that it doesn't work, it's not good. It's l'kicha al yedei davar acher, Rava holds l'kicha al yedei davar acher is good. No, this is not good because it's derech b'zayin. Only when the l'kicha al yedei davar acher is derech kavod. So now, what was Yisachar? What was this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kaya doing? He was wrapping his hands. Shalei yislach l'chu yadav bedame evarim. He didn't want to get his hands dirty with the blood, and he was mevazik kodshei shemayim. That's why the Gemara recalls him. Someone was mevazik kodshei shemayim. It was only for his own kavod. So it was derech kavod for himself, but it wasn't derech kavod for the mitzvah. If you do it derech kavod for the mitzvah, then that's a different story. Then Tosfos has an entirely different pshat where he says that no, it's not a chatzitza over here, because chatzitza is when you're holding the item and there's something in between your hand and the item. Maybe what we're talking about over here with l'kicha al yedei davar acher is you make a handle that's external to the item, like you make something to hold on to that's external to the lulav. Like if this is the lulav, you're not holding around the lulav, you're holding next to the lulav, you're holding on to something. It's like the plastic lulav bags. You can hold the actual bags. Sometimes they have like a little handle off the side of the back. Maybe that's the l'kicha al yedei davar acher. That would match a little better to the aguda seza, to the ezov that you stick into by the paraduma that we talk about. The l'kicha al yedei davar acher is not where you're wrapping your hand around the ezov and dipping it in. It's where you connected something to the back end of the ezov and you're dropping it in by holding only the back end. So that's what it seems to. That's by not holding the ezov at all, just holding that which is attached to it. So that's what Tosfos says at the end. Maybe that's the difference between chatzitz on the one hand and the kichal de davracher. Now the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch Tafrei Shonal of Siv Zayin that nagu lahachmir lahasir at tefillin v'taba'us miyadam av medina in lachash hol v'yein kol yad mechusabahen. That before we take lulav, the minig is to remove any rings from our hands and to remove the tefillin before taking, if one wears tefillin in Chol HaMoed, to remove tefillin before taking lulav. But he says min adin, you don't really have to worry about it because it doesn't cover your entire hand. So the Gra says, yeah, that's according to the Shita Saran, that there's no problem of chatzitza by a lulav, where the whole issue is an issue of l'kicha tama. So then meikra din, a ring, a tefillin, it's not going to be a problem of l'kicha tama. But if you hold that there's a din of chatzitza by a lulav, like Shita Satosvos, that there is a psul chatzitza by a lulav, like our Tosvos suggests, then there's not going to be a chiluk whether it's your whole hand or only part of your hand. Either way, it's going to be a chatzitza, just like the big day kuhuna, even a nima achas by big day kuhuna, a single hair that's detached from one's body, that's mafsik, that's chotzeitz between the big day kuhuna and the kohen's body, even though the rest of his body is directly touching the big day kuhuna, but you have that one little spot, it's still a chatzitza. When it comes to dine chatzitza, a woman goes to the mikvah, even a little chatzitza is a chatzitza. So when it comes to chatzitza, it doesn't seem to help that it's only partially covered by l'kicha tama seinachinami. So then meikar adin, the Rama is right as far as l'kicha tama goes, but says the Gra, when it comes to chatzitza, it's not so. So l'chora. So again, the Gra wanted to say when it comes to Shita Satosos that there is a psul chatzitza belulav. So there's no chiluk There's no chiluk whether your whole hand is covered with it, or only part of your hand. So l'chora, the Gra is a little bit difficult to understand because that which we say nima achas is chotzeitz by big day kuhuna. That's because you need the big day kuhuna to be mechasa kol haguf, that every single inch of one's body needs to be covered with big day kuhuna. So it's not that it's only a chatzitza on part of it, and we see that even a partial chatzitza is a problem. No, on that part of the body, it's an entire chatzitza, meaning every single part of the body needs to be directly in contact with the big day kuhuna. So that's why nima achas is possible. But by lulav, is there such a din that the lulav has to touch your entire hand? No, just your lulav has to just touch your hand. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be that your entire hand engulfs the lulav. That it has to be dafka your entire hand. So even if you have a chatzitza on the mitzvah and mitzvah hayad by a lulav, by the ritzus of the tefillin or with a ring or something like that, it shouldn't be a chatzitza. So the gra is a little bit difficult to understand. How could he compare the big day kuhuna to the chatzitzas on the hand when you take the lulav? So if Salvation explains, maybe to explain the gra in Harei Kedem Sim Kavlam Beis, he says that the psul of chatzitza is not only in that the makom that's chotzeitz is not considered a maisa netila on that makom, that it's not participating in the maisa netila. No, it could be chatzitzas. It's not just that it's not a maisa netila. It's that it's an act of psul. It's a psul in the maisa netila. That it's better to have no maisa netila. You can hold the lulav with two fingers like that, and that's no problem. And then there's no chatzitzas. But once you have something on your hand and you hold it with your whole hand, and now you have something that's being, you have that ring that's being chotzeitz between the lulav and the hand, that creates the problem. A psul, it's a psul of a chatzitza. It's not just that that area is not participating in the maisa netila. He says that's what you have by tevila. When there's a chatzitza, it's definitely a tevila. You don't say it's not a maisa tevila at all, but the chatzitza is a psul in the tevila. It passes the act of tevila. So this psul is chal in the entire netila. It's mafkia, the etzem maisa netila. So that's why the Gra holds that even a chatzitza b'miksas hayad with rings or with rituals of the tefillin would passel the netila entirely. Okay, let's move on now. Statement number 3 of Rabbah. The Amar Rabbah. Lo lodz inish lulava ba'oshana dilma natri tarfi vavi chatzitza. He says if you already have the hadasim and the aravos bound together, don't jam the lulav into an already bound together hadasim and aravos, because what you're likely to do is to rip off leaves of the hadasim and the aravos, and the ripped off leaves are still going to be there in the bundle, and they're going to be a chatzitza because they're no longer part of the hadasim and the aravos. V'rava Amar Rava says, nah, min b'mino eino chotzitz. That's all part of the min of the dalad minim, because the leaves come from those hadasim and the aravos, so you don't have to worry, that's not going to be considered a chatzitza. Via Amar Rabba, statement number 4 of Rabba's 7 statements. Lo ligos inish lulava ba'oshana de mishtairi hutza vavi chatzitza. Don't trim the lulav on the bottom after the lulav is already attached to the hadasim and the aravos, is already bound together. Because what's going to happen when you trim the lulav from the bottom is the side leaves of the lulav are going to become detached from the rest of the lulav, and that itself is going to be a chatzitza. V'rava amar min b'mino eino chotzeitz. And Rava, predictably, very similar to the previous machlokas, will say, no, min b'mino eino chotzeitz. It's min b'mino. So it's not going to be a problem of chatzitza. Statement number 5 of Rabba. V'amar Rabba. Hadas shel mitzvah asur la'ariach bo. Esrog shel mitzvah mutar la'ariach bo. The hadas that you use for the mitzvah of dalet minim, you're not allowed to smell the hadas. But in esrog shel mitzvah, you are allowed to smell the esrog. My taima, why? What's the difference between the hadas and the esrog? Hadas de l'recha ka'i, the hadas, which is primarily something that is enjoyed by smelling it, ki aktsia merecha aktsia. When you make it muktza, you're making it, when you make it muktza l'mitzvaso, when you designate it specifically for the mitzvah, you're saying that it should be used for the mitzvah and not for its other primary use, which would be for smelling. But esrog de l'achila ka'i, ki aktsia merechila aktsia. But esrog, which is primarily for eating, that's the way people enjoy an esrog, is by eating it. So it happens to have a nice pleasant aroma as well, a nice fragrance, but it's primarily enjoyed by eating it. So when you make it hooked to the mitzvah, so when you designate it for the mitzvah, you designate it for the mitzvah and not for eating. You're taking it away from the eating, but not for, you're not taking it away from smelling it. So that's the difference between the hadas and the esrog. The Michtam quotes that there are those that hold that if you make a tenai on the hadas mitchila, that einu bodel mimenu me'lariach bo, that I am not giving up the smell of the hadas. Meaning, what we're saying is that this is automatic. That once you designate that hadas for the mitzvah, you are changing its designation from a smelling item to a mitzvah item. And by the esrog, you're changing its designation from an edible item to a mitzvah item. Although Rabbi Chanina, we learned yesterday, enjoyed both, right? But you're changing your designation from the, assuming not like Rabbi Chanina, I guess, you're changing its designation from the smelling item to the mitzvah item. But if you decide not to change its designation, just to add to its designation. That I'm not going to stop smelling the hadas, then it's going to be mutter. So he says, even though when it comes to noy sukkah, the Gemara says that it's only because it's not the ikar mitzvah, the Gemara in Beitza says that it's only because it's not the ikar mitzvah, that's why a tanai helps. But by hadas, it is the ikar mitzvah, so you can't say that svara, that it's not the ikar mitzvah and a tanai helps. So he says, no, but there's a big chilik between the atzei sukkah, using the atzei sukkah for other things, and smelling the hadas. When you use the atzei sukkah for other things, you're ripping apart your sukkah. You're taking it off of the sukkah. So that's why we say it tonight is only going to help, because it's just by the nice sukkah, because it's not the ikur mitzvah. It's something that's only noy of the mitzvah. It's not the ikur mitzvah, because to use it would mean to remove it. But when it comes to a hadas, to use it would just mean to smell it, where you're not being mevatel the mitzvah at all. So therefore, it's even though it is the ikur mitzvah, you're allowed to make such a tonight. That's what the Michtam says. Now the Ritva is mechadesh, that there are those that hold, he says, that by hadas, if you have hadasim that are part of your schach, it's also asur l'ariach bo, because it's huktzal mitzvah. So it's not only hadash mitzvah of the dalaminim. If you're using the hadasim, let's say you try to be machmir like Rabbi Yehuda, so you want to have all the dalaminim, only dalaminim eschach. So you have hadasim eschach or stam, you have hadasim up there eschach. So with the same halacha would apply, it would be asur l'ariach bo. But then the Ritva quotes from the Ra'ah that says no, that it's not true, that it's only by hadash mitzvah that's taken with the lulav that's asur l'ariach bo, because when you're makseil l'mitzvah, you're makseil mil ariach bo, because it's ef to be mekayim the mitzvah in any other way. But a hadash shel sukkah, you're not makzid from the smell, because it's efshar to be mesachich with other wood and use the hadas and use the hadas for other things. So you're only being makzeu shelo yishtamish bo ledavar acher o shelo yavr bo esh, not to use it for anything else or not to burn a fire with it, but you're not being makzid mila hariach bo. So he thinks that maybe there's a difference between the hadas that you use for the dalin minim, where you don't have it, where you have to use a hadas, whereas a hadas is used for schach, where you have other options. Statement number 6 of Rabba now, the Amar Rabba, hadas b'mechubar mutal ariach bo. If you have a hadas that's still attached to the ground, you're allowed to smell it. Esrog b'mechubar asal ariach bo. But if you have an esrog that's still attached to the ground, you're not allowed to smell it. My taima, hadas to lariach kai yishar slay lo asil lemigzia. So a hadas which is meant for smelling, if we let you smell it while it's attached to the ground, we don't have to worry that you're going to pull it out of the ground on yantif, because you're already getting the maximum benefit you can get from it just by smelling it while it's attached to the ground. But esrog de lachila kai yishar slay asil lemigzia. Esrog which is for achila, primarily the primary I know one gets from an esrog is from eating it. So if we let you smell it while it's attached to the ground, you're likely to say that smells not smells good, that smells delicious, and then you're going to want to pull the esrog off and eat it. So we're afraid that it's going to cause the person to pull the esrog off of the tree. V'yamar Rabba, last statement of Rabba, lulav v'yamin v'esrog b'smal, that you're supposed to hold the lulav in your right hand, the esrog in your left hand. My taima, hani plus a mitzvah v'hai chad a mitzvah, because the lulav has 3 out of the 4 minim, the esrog is just 1, so the one that has 3 is held in the right hand. My time, lom v'rachin ela al netilas lulav, why is it that we only make the bracha al netilas lulav? Why isn't al netilas esrog or al netilas the other minim? Because it's the tallest of all the minim. So that's why we dafka use the make the bracha on the lulav. The Rishonim have a difficult time with that. So what? It's the tallest. That makes a difference that it's the tallest. So the Ra'ah says that yesh mefarshim, that it means that the tree is the tallest tree. So it must be that it's the most chashav in the bria. Still, how does that help? So the Ritva writes that the lulav has a certain beauty to it. There's a noy because it goes straight up without anything coming off of the sides. It's just straight stick, so that's it's the noy of the lulav, that it's the most beautiful of all the minim, which is also difficult to understand because the esrog is the most beautiful of all the minim. It's the one that's described as a priyetz hadar, that's its very definition. The Michtam says that since bimino gavoa mikulan, it must be the ikr and everything else is tafel. It's much like the halacha in brachos memdalid, you're mevarich al ikr by hilchos brachos and paters the tefela. So he says by mitzvahs also you have such a thing, that you're mevarich on the ikr, that which sticks out the most, that's therefore defined as the ikr. and everything else is the tafel. So you're only mivarich on the ikr. So says Gemara, but I have a simple solution. Pick up your esrog higher, and then it will be the highest. It will be the tallest, and make the bracha on the esrog. So Amalei hold b'mino gavav mikulad. No, the lulav is taller. The lulav is it's taller than the rest, than the other three. So Tosus points out the ligve l'asruk v'liver kasha davle l'memar hol b'shira gavav mikulan. Now, what do you mean? The answer should have been that the shira of a lulav is four tefachim. The shira of an esrog is kebetza or keegos. So the fact that you have a minimum shira that's so much bigger. So what do you mean? Pick up higher? It's just the nature of the halacha is that you have a shira that's different by lulav than by everything else. The Gemara over here tells us that the lulav is held in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand because the lulav has three mitzvahs, the esrog has only one mitzvah. Magen Avraham says, why do you need that svara? That's why the lulav is taken in the right hand. Magen Avraham raises the question, Tafresh and Alav, Sivkat and Vav, anytime you make a bracha on anything, you always hold it in the right hand. So since the bracha is on the lulav, it's held in the tilas lulav, because of the fact that it's higher, or whatever the reason is that we're making the bracha on the tilas lulav, once that's the bracha, of course the lulav is in the right hand, because that's the bracha. So whenever you make a bracha on anything, it should be in the right hand. So the Magen Avraham suggests, he gives a couple of answers, but a second answer is that what Rab is trying to say is that even if you were to hold the lulav shalo b'shas bracha, like when you're saying the Hoshanos, where it's not an account of the bracha that you're holding in the right hand, still you need to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in your left hand, because lulav is three mitzvahs and the esrog is only one mitzvah. And that's what they pass in Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Mishnah Berurah. All the Achronim point this out, that dafka the lulav has to be in the right hand, even shalo b'shas bracha, whenever you hold the lulav, it's got to be in the right hand. They point out that the Medrash says this way in the Yalkut and Tillim, Ketzat Seder HaKafa, Kol Yisrael Gedol Muktanim Notan Sluvayim B'Yideim HaYimonis V'Esrogayim B'Yideim HaSmolis U'Makivin HaKafa Achas. When you talk about being makif the bima, so it's Dafka with the Lulav in the right hand and the Esrog in the left hand. So the Achronim wonder, is that Dafka that the Esrog has to be in the left hand, or is it just that the Lulav has to be in the right hand? So meaning, can you hold them both in the right hand? Meaning, that you have to hold the esrog separately. Is it dafka din l'kichas haluv? So that's a discussion the Achronin. That maybe this is dafka, that the esrog has to be in the left hand, which would mean that when you walk around and you're doing the Hoshanos, you would have to hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand still, and need to say the Hoshanos by heart or manage to balance your siddur. But if you say the no, the hakpad is only that the lulav be in the right hand, we don't really care if the esrog is in the right hand or the left hand, so then you would be able to hold the esrog in the right hand as well. Okay, says the Mishnah, the Heichanayim Ananin, where would they do the Nanuim? At what point in davening would they do the Nanuim of the Lulav? So, Bahodul Hashem Tchil V'Sof, at Hodul Hashem at the beginning and the end, Uba'ana Hashem Oshiyana Divrei Beis Hillel, and also Bayana Hashem Oshiyana according to Beis Hillel. Hodul Tchil V'Sof, Rashi says, means at the beginning of the Perek and at the end of the Perek. He says, Vahodul Shem V'Sof HaPerek V'Sof HaHalel Min Hodul HaTzof HaHalel Chod HaParshasa B'Minyan Parsha Shal Sefer Tehillim. It's all one Parsha in the Sefer Tehillim. So, anyway, but also by Ana Hashem Oshiyana. Beishami Omrim Af Ba'ana Hashem Atzlichana. Beishami says, even by Ana Hashem Atzlichana, you should shake the lulav. Amr Rabbi Kiva, Tzofa Yisib Rav Gamliel Rav Yishua, Shekol Ama Yiminanin Asulvein, Veim Lona Anu El Ba'ana Hashem Oshiyana. So Rabbi Kiva says, I saw that Rav Gamliel and Rav Yishua, even though everybody else was shaking the lulav at all these different times, by Ana Hashem Atzlichana, whatever, they only shook the lulav by Ana Hashem Oshiyana. The Gemara is going to explain what everybody else was doing, what they were doing, what the difference exactly was. But the Nanuim are done dafka during the time of Halal. It's just a question in the Mishnah of exactly when during Halal they were Menanea. Tosus writes that the mitzvah of Nanuim, it's a davar pasha, Tosus writes in Dibra Maskel Bahodu, that they would also do the mitzvah of the Nanuim when you would be Mevarich on the Lulav, when you would first take the Lulav for the Bracha. Even though it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is going to say it later on in Daf Mem Beis, that a katana yodel in Nanea is chayiv in Lulav. When does a katana become chayiv in Lulav? When he knows how to be Menanea the Lulav. He knows how to be Menanea the Lulav before he knows how to say Halal, Tosus assumes. So if he doesn't know how to say Halal, when's he being Menanea the Lulav? If the only Nanuim during Halal. Elamai, you have to say that the Nanuim are b'shas ha-bracha. He says, Tosfos, it's also a raya from the Gemara in Brachas, Taflamin Aminalef, there's a braisa that the Gemara brings, that a person who's makdim to be latzis l'derech on Rosh Hashanah, mevi'in lo shofar v'tokeya, and on Chag, mevi'in lo lulav u'minaneya, and on Purim, mevi'in lo mikra, megillah v'korei. So it sounds like the minaneya, even without kriyas ha'halal, the guy is yotzei l'derech, he's not saying halal, he just get him a lulav, because he was yotzei l'derech, he needs a lulav, so what does he do with the lulav? Doesn't just say magbia, that he picks it up. No, he's minaneya. So apparently at the Shas Bracha, there's definitely an anua, and the Ritva says this way as well, all the Rishonim say this way, that even b'shas bracha, there's na'anuim. So affecting Gemara, na'anuim, mantekar shmei. Why are we talking about na'anuim right now? Where did this come up previously? We were just talking about what makes dalin minim kasher. So why are we talking about na'anuim? So asum kai, kol buv sheish b'shosh t'fakum k'telin na'anea bo kasher, v'kamar heichem na'anin. So we had a mission at the beginning of the parak where it discussed the shir of a lulav. So it said the lulav that has shosh t'fakum k'telin na'anea bo is kasher. Na'anuim, who said anything about shaking? So now we're asking, okay, so where do they shake the lulavim? Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah by Shtei Alechem, that Shtei Alechem, Shnei Kipsei Atzeres, Ketzad Uosa, how do you wave the Shtei Alechem, the Kipsei Atzeres, Maniach Shtei Alechem, Lagabi Shnei Akvasin, Umaniach Yodo Tachtein, they put the loaves of bread on the sheep, and you put your hands underneath them, Umenuf Umoluch Umevi Malu Morin, and you wave it in all the different directions, Shnemar Ashar Hunaf Vashar Huram. That's because that's Pasuk says, Shar Hunaf Vashar Huram. So we're comparing it, the Nanum of the Lulav, to the waving of the Shtei Alechem. The next piece, the Gemara is going to have three different possibilities of what it means when we're minanei lulav, what sort of message we're trying to send, what the underlying meaning of the nanuim are. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow.